A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there, till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I was sent. The word of the Lord.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's water courses are filled. You have prepared the grain.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yield.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothes the hills.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
The fields are garmented with flocks and valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, for creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves, as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The seed is the word of God, Christ is the sower. All who come in him will have life forever.
Alleluia, alleluia,
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the law of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields 100, 60, or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. The 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time marks the third major section of the Gospel of St. Matthew. The first section presents Jesus on the Mount of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. That's the first major section of Matthew's Gospel, which starts in chapter 5 and goes into chapter 7. The second major section of the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus teaching extensively about the nature of discipleship. and what that entails. The third major section, which we are now embarking upon, deals with Jesus' parabolic teaching. He teaches in parables. And this will go on for the next 3 weeks, which in itself highlights Holy Mother Church's wanting us to realize the significance of the teachings of Jesus relative to the kingdom of God or heaven in the form of parables. And so with this type of teaching, Jesus is calling us to do two things: to look very attentively at what he's presenting us with, and to listen interiorly. A lot of times we hear things in our ears, in these in and out, but how often do we let what we hear really settle in? Like, I think about coming up with my two brothers. Did you hear what I said? Did you do what I said? Did you hear what I said? That's my mother talking to me. And I said, I heard what you said. I didn't ask if you heard it. I said, did you hear what I said? In other words, her question was, did you hear what I say? And in hearing what I said, did you obey what I said? Well, obviously, she wouldn't be railing against me like this if I had obeyed what she said. And so when we hear, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear ought to hear. Hear what? The word of God. The word of God, which does what? It cultivates faith, a living faith in the mind, in the heart of the listener, who, if they're open to what this word is saying, will experience transformation, regardless of the type of soil one's heart might be in. Be it the path, the rocky, or the thorny bushes and so forth, nothing is impossible for God to the one who is open and receptive to what he wants to say, but especially in terms of what he wants to do. Now, as we listen to the writing of the prophet Isaiah, the imagery of the rains falling from the heavens and the snows, and when they do saturate the earth, it produces the end for which it was sent, namely to cause the earth to produce fruitfulness that produces things that are certainly necessary for life on all levels. He says, so it is with my word that goes forth from me. In other words, the type of word that God speaks is not a descriptive word. It's a creative word. He speaks it and it is. Let there be light, and there was light. Lazarus, come out. He came forth. And so we have in the scriptures, up until the fullness of time, when that word of God definitively took a human nature to itself in the fullness of time. Up until then, we have various ways in which God has spoken his word to us through imagery, through signs and wonders. And if you think about that, well, we hear St. Paul's letter. All of creation is mourning and groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Now, when we hear that kind of a word from St. Paul, we think about a creation moaning and groaning. Well, we may think about that in terms of earthquakes, strong hurricanes, tornadoes, these type of events that happen in nature. We may recognize that as that manifests for us the magnitude of the power of God, the awesomeness of God's power. But then when we think about the imagery of the gentle rains falling from the heavens, the breeze, the gentle breeze that comes forth, that can remind us of how gradually God's nature is showing us how things are changing gradually in the way in which God intends things to go. And how we choose to respond to that speaks of how we are attentive and responsive to this creative word, this creative action, this grace of God in creation, in nature as we see it. So, as we look at ourselves, adults, teens, and children, As adults, what is one of the most difficult things, as adult parents especially, one of the most difficult things that a parent has to come to terms with is letting go of their children. They come of age. It's now time for them to embark upon their journey. And what is the greatest concern, or shall we even say fear, that every parent has in relationship to those children? We hope, our concern is that we hope we've given them sufficient foundation of faith and every other value necessary to be not only successful, but to accomplish the work that God has set for them in whatever state in life they choose to be. That is a concern. And yet, the other thing is this. The painful reality of it is, you know that try as I might, the reality of a person growing in faith in a relationship that can produce 30, 60, 100-fold fruitfulness of what God wants to happen in that person's life is between God and that person. We cannot control whether or not they're going to be receptive. But then let's bring it closer to home. The truth of the matter is, we can look back on our lives as adults and see that most of our transformation in relationship to God and His Word and fidelity took place in our adult years, not in the childhood years, and not even in the teenage years, but in our adult years. You and I can see where I used to be the rocky ground, I used to be the thorny brambles and bushes and so forth, this soil, and also the good soil. We can see how we've gone through those stages. Everything Jesus is speaking to us today in this imagery should speak on, we should be able to recollect a time in our lives when we were there. And we may also see ourselves as parents, especially as you think about yourself as a parent or in any position of leadership, as the one who's sowing the seed. And maybe thinking back and remembering how, gosh, I did so much, I did everything I could do. Father, I tell you, I did everything I could do. I don't understand it. None of my children continue to practice the faith. What more should I have done? I said, well, what are you trying to say to me? Well, Father, I'm asking you, what more should I have done? I did everything. I brought them up. We built Catholic education. We did this. We did that. Another lesson we are learning from what Jesus is telling us is that no matter how effective, no matter how masterfully you and I model the mystery of the faith through word and deed, we have no control over whether or not a person is going to be enthusiastic and open to it, whether or not they're going to be indifferent, or maybe, you can just consider whatever adjective. It's the same reality. In other words, Jesus is letting us know it's not going to be easy to sow this seed. And more importantly, once you sow it, we're not always going to see the immediate result that it will ultimately bring forth in the end. That's the difficulty, especially when you consider the technological development, the industrialization of the world. We live in a culture, push the button and it's supposed to happen. Every so often, the newest and fastest internet speed is coming to you in service. It's never enough. And we tend to project that onto the ways of God, and more importantly, on the ways of human development and formation, which when we really step back and think about it, we didn't arrive where we are today overnight. It's a whole lot of ups and downs. And teenagers, they can recognize right away when somebody's coming across to them as a hypocrite. You think about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. How is it that so many young people flocked to her and were so attracted to her? They saw her as a woman totally animated. In the gospel, she preached and lived. That's attractive to people. People want to be a part of that. That's exciting. And you flip it on the other side. And I'm not saying, obviously we have some good politicians, thanks be to God. But unfortunately, The ones that we seem to always have presented to us on a regular basis are the ones that tell us everything we want to hear, but very seldom act on what they say they were going to do if you elect me as your governor, if you elect me as your mayor, if you elect me as your parish president, this is what's going to happen. But yet, the mysterious grace of God is working in every situation, in such a way that even the smallest child in the community can see how rains fall from the heavens in the light of what Jesus is teaching us today, and see how that in itself brings forth something new and different in their life experience. When maybe for the very first time, mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, teaches them and shows them how to do some gardening work. And we're going to plant these little seeds over here for our special little garden. And we're going to watch how God is going to help these little seeds transform into something no one would ever imagine. And this is how it is with God in relationship to us. We reflect upon our experience of the Word of God as it truly is. A living, effective word, a person. The Word of God is a person. It's not an it, it's not something, it's someone. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you listen to the details of this parable from a first century Jewish point of view, they would be like, are you kidding me? What kind of a sore is this? This guy is careless and reckless. You got the first thing in those times in an agrarian culture, you hold custody of those seeds with your life. Every last one of those seeds is valuable. You will not just be throwing them haphazardly this way and that way. And that's the mystery of grace from God. Jesus, God, throws it everywhere imaginable. And it's constant every day of our lives. The Word of God is going forth. And it gives us opportunity to do what? To change, to receive it. And once we do, what we hear Jesus say, many a king, many a prophet longed to see what you see, but did not see it. Longed to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Blessed are your eyes which see, and your ears which hear. And just as Jesus confirms for us that he wants us to understand what he's teaching us, when we ask the question, Lord, what do you mean by this? He takes the time to explain, which means we too must take the time to study in order to better understand what Jesus and his church have continued to make available to all of the human family, for the greater glory of God and the salvation of souls. God love you.